Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you remember what we were talking about last Sunday night? If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Amen. I don't know if you happen to notice, I know some people made mention of it or liked the post that we made, but we shared a post last night about the importance of purpose in a person's life. And a lot of people are living this life, living this existence down here below without any sense of connection to their purpose. And the connecting place of your purpose is the new birth experience, getting born again. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that's when you connect with your purpose. But along the life that we live for Jesus, sometimes people will get disconnected from their purpose, and sometimes they'll begin to think, well, maybe I've disqualified myself, or maybe I'm in that stage of life where nobody really sees the value in me anymore. And for whatever reason, the devil's a great one to jump on that and say, I see you hitting yourself in the head with a hammer here. That one's not big enough. Take this one. Praise God. Amen. And so what we have to recognize is that we need to learn the voice print of the devil. Amen. That when he speaks, we recognize him right away and begin to stand up against. Remember what we talked about the other night? About speaking to our mountain. Amen. And we talked a little bit about that. We got to learn how to talk to the devil. Talk back to the devil. Because the devil never ceases to speak. And so it's time for us to sling some stones his way. Can you say amen? Knock some giants down, move some mountains. And that's what we are. Praise God. We're giant killers and mountain movers. Through the Word of God, through the power of Christ and the redemption He's secured for us. But we started talking last week a little bit about this idea of if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Meaning that God's not done with you. If you're in this building, you're still alive. I didn't see anybody bringing a cadaver. So we're all alive in here tonight, praise God. Which means God's got something for you still to do. And God does not intend for you to do that alone. It's interesting, Proverbs 18:1 says, He who isolates himself considers his own things. Meaning that those who isolate themselves aren't thinking about the greater plan God's got, because one member does not a body make. God wants you in community with other people. He wants you connected with the other members of the body, because that's how we function. Can you say amen? You know, if you've got an isolated member of your body somewhere, we call that amputation. Can you say amen? And an amputated member of the body doesn't have a whole lot of life. It ain't a whole lot kicking. Can you say amen? So we want to keep the members connected. Can you say amen? Because it's when we function together as a whole that the purposes of God get accomplished. So Paul's speaking here at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry. And he has some last-minute instructions for Timothy, and they're applicable to us in our lives as well. And he said here in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Then he goes on to say, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful for me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchment. So here's Paul, though, at the end of his life, says, bring Mark because he's profitable for me for the work of ministry. In other words, I ain't done yet. I still need folk who will hook up with me so I can accomplish the purposes of God in the earth. His course is ran, but of course the overall purposes in the earth have not yet concluded. And Paul says, while I'm still around, while I'm still kicking, I might as well be fruitful. Can you say amen? And you know, there's some people who just have a knack for just being fruitful. They just always applying themselves to the purposes of God. And so Paul said, go ahead and bring Mark with you. Not only that, but bring my books. I want to stay studied up and bring those scriptures. That's what the parchments were. Bring the parchments so I can stay fed up. Not fed up with the Word of God, but fed up on the Word of God. Can you say amen? So that I can be strong and have something still to give people in a time of need. Like I said, all of us at one time or another can feel like our best years are past us. If anybody had a right to feel like that, it's a man who's already ran his race well, finished his course, and is slated for execution. And yet Paul has no woe is me stories to tell. He's still looking to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's just easier for us to cry over yesterday's lost opportunity than it is to regather our strength and claim the ground that's standing still before us. Can you say amen? And like we said, the devil's a great one to tell you, oh, you've disqualified yourself, you're out of the race, there's nothing left to you, might as well go ahead and just bury your head in the sand and pray that Jesus comes and takes you away as soon as possible. Amen. Now, like we said, Proverbs 24:16 says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he'll rise again. Amen. How many times can you fall and get back up? As many times as you will get back up. Can you say amen? And like we said, the Message translation says no matter how many times you trip them up, God loyal people don't stay down long. They're soon up on their feet again while the wicked end up flat on their face. Amen. So like one individual said, your background does not have to determine your foreground. Regardless of what's happened to you in times past, you can have a brand new beginning today. Can you say amen? And like we said, even in Joel 2:25, the Lord said He would restore the years of the devil stolen from us. And this is just a quick quote from Joel 2:25. God says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. And like we said, this is really referring to God restoring the harvest years that they had been robbed of because of really their backslidings. And so they had lost years of produce in the field, if you will. But like we said, it's an analogy to God restoring to us the years of fruitfulness and blessing that maybe we've lost out on because of just being disconnected with the purposes of God. God will not only reconnect you with His purpose, but He'll give you a bumper crop. Amen. How many of you know it's time to regain some ground? If you've ever felt you lost some ground, why let this year just be one more year of the same stuff? Why not say, I'm going to connect myself to the purposes of God and have a bumper crop year? Like I said, I've determined that my 50s are going to be my best decade ever, but I don't want to get to the end of my 50s and say, well, I've ran my race, I finished the course. 60s, way too young. 70s, way too young. 80s, way too young. If Moses was still strong at 120, his eye not dim, his natural forces not abated, how do you know we still got a lot of running our race to do? The finish line ain't even in sight yet, honey. So we might as well just go ahead and go for the distance. Amen. Just get yourself into a comfortable pace that you can keep for many, many years to come. Because if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. And God still wants you bearing fruit. Amen. Like I said, there's a great verse of scripture that I like to pray for myself a lot. I think it's beneficial. If maybe you just make this a regular thing of prayer in your life every day for a while, Colossians 1:9-12. Paul says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Not just what to do, but how to do it. And spiritual understanding that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, here's the thing that frightens me. I mean, I say that, you understand the way in which I'm using that word. But here's a reality. The danger may not just be that you get disconnected from the purpose of God in the obvious ways. Because you can have church every Sunday and still not be bearing fruit. You can still be doing churchy things and going to church and even reading your Bible, maybe even praying, and yet not really be connected and or fulfilling the purpose God has for your life. I think a lot of Christians are not doing anything wrong and maybe doing a lot of the right things, but still really they're just marking time. They're on a spiritual treadmill going nowhere, doing a lot of good things, but really not connected to a sense of destiny or purpose. And again, without jumping too far ahead of things, we've talked about this already quite a bit before, that God has uniquely graced you. He's put something on the inside of you that He wants to see some return on. Amen. A gift, a grace, some kind of anointing on your life that God wants you investing, that He wants you implementing into the kingdom for His purpose. That's the call of God on your life. The Bible says, unto every one of us grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but nevertheless, there's a great verse in Ephesians 4:1 that says that we're to walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith we've been called. Well, I used to always preach that, and I'd say, I'm going to tell every one of you what your calling is at the end of this message. And of course, everybody's waiting to hear, what's my calling? Brother, you're going to give me a word. Very simple. Your calling is the faithful stewardship of your grace. Whatever you've been graced to do, whatever God has put on the inside of you to invest into the kingdom, your ministry is to be a faithful steward of that gift or those gifts, whatever they might be, that grace. And I've found that if I'm faithful with what God's given me, more comes my way. Because how many of you know we need to wear a lot of hats sometimes to get the job done? It'd be great if everybody was just wearing their own individual hat and every little soldier was marching in rank. But how many of you know they're not? So sometimes if you show yourself, you know, sometimes people say, Lord, just use me. Lord, just use me. And then all of a sudden people start asking you, you know, to do stuff in the church. You say, I just feel so used. I thought that was the whole point of the prayer to begin with. Amen. And so how many of you know man's not going to be the one to give you your reward anyway? If all you're expecting is for, you know, on Helps Ministry Appreciation Day to get a lot of pats on the back and, you know, some kind of, I don't know, $25 gift card to the gas station. You know, if that's what rings your bell, we can do that. But how many of you know there's going to be an award ceremony in heaven that trumps anything we can give you in this life? I don't know why I'm going this way at all, but it's nevertheless true. Can you say amen? So how many of you know we need to apply ourselves to the purposes of God, be faithful with what He's given. So I don't know exactly what to do. And we'll get to a little bit of that maybe later, but the fact of the matter is, just get busy doing something. It's easier to direct a moving object. That's just a law of physics. Amen. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, people will say, I just need a better job. Well, first of all, you just need a job. It's easier to get a better job if you already got a job. Can you say amen? So just find something to do. Find something to apply yourself to. And God will see to it that He will move you into His will, plan, and purpose for your life. Can you say amen? As we said, so many people die shortly after retirement. The reason why is they've over-identified themselves with their career or what they did for a living. And God doesn't want you so identified with that as He does His purpose for your life. Now, don't get me wrong. You could be doing His purpose for your life as a plumber, as a teacher, as whatever. But just because those days are gone doesn't mean your days with God are gone. Amen. It's just time for a reassignment, that's all. Can you say amen? You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And like I said, sometimes if we're overly identified with what we've been in the natural or what our natural roles are and don't see the purpose of God for our lives, we'll often say, well, what am I about? What's my life about? But God's got a purpose for you that corresponds to His will, plan, and purpose for your life and the gifts that He's given you. As I said, if you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. Now, we've talked about the fact that oftentimes in our world, the elderly, for example, are marginalized. They're not valued. About the time we get, you know, to where we're really worth something as far as imparting our knowledge and wisdom, they want to shuffle us off to some assisted living facility where we just leave everybody alone and stay out of everybody's way. And how many of you know in the Orient and other parts of the world, the old are oftentimes highly valued, and they're the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the family. But in today's culture, in America particularly, it's a very youth-driven culture. And rather than seeing that as being a negative, we ought to see it as a positive, because that means we who have got a little bit of miles on us have something to say to that youthful culture. Because how many of you know they don't know nothing yet? Amen. I used to say kind of jokingly, if you're under 30, your brain hadn't even hardened yet. Now, and when I used to say that, you know, when I was 30, I'd say that to about the 25-year-olds. And then when I got to be 35, I'd say that about the 30-year-olds. And now I'm almost 50, and I realize my brain still ain't hard yet. There's folk who know stuff I don't know. We can all learn one from another. Can you say amen? And I realize that sometimes you get around some of the older generation, and they'll start, you know, harping on the good old days. You know, I think that's something you ought to just absolutely ban yourself from talking about. Number one, there weren't any good old days. If you remember, you were grousing about them when you were living in them back then. Amen. You were. There was things you didn't like about that generation. Frankly, I don't want to go back another 20 years. I like my microwave. I like my iPhone. I like my computer. I don't want to go backward. And God never goes backward. God has no R in His gear shift. Always lean forward. Always be moving forward. God is not a regressing God. He is always a forward-moving God. And a lot of times what happens when we start thinking about the old days, we miss out on what God is saying for today. He said, remember not the former things. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Amen. He said, consider not the things of old. How many of you know it's time to wake up to what God is saying to us today? He's got a right now word for you. So don't think retire, say refire. That's what you need to be thinking about. Like we said, it's not just about living, it's knowing what we're living for. Remember we talked about Anna, remember Anna? She was an 84-year-old woman. She never left church. Preacher had to give her a key so she could lock it up and open it up in the morning. She stayed in the temple night and day and offered prayers to God. Not only that, but she was a prophetess, meaning she was in the ministry. Not only that, but she was one of the first evangelists sharing the good news about the coming of Jesus. Can you say amen? And we saw about, you know, Moses at 120. His natural forces were not abated and his eye was not dim. And I made a statement last week. I want to say again that your vitality is not connected to your age. It's connected to your purpose. And if you're not done, God still has life quickening. How many of you know the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you? It's not hard for Him to quicken your mortal body so you can get up in the morning and rise up, you know, rise up early in the morning, go to bed late at night if you need be. And I know preachers that in their 80s, they'd wear out their young men and women that were on their, you know, ministry teams. Because they're so connected to their purpose. I don't know. I know that with me, I've got a fire that burns on the inside of me continually. Amen. It's not fed by some natural something or other. I don't listen to Anthony Robbins try to tell me, you know, come on, you can fulfill your potential. I don't need Anthony Robbins. I've got something from God on the inside of me that consumes me, that drives me, that compels me to fulfill what He's called me to do. So my vitality is not connected to my age. It's connected to my purpose. And every gray hair you get, whether you cover them up or not, is a credential, praise God. We won't share any secrets. Amen. We'll leave what's underneath your bathroom cupboard between you and Jesus. Amen. If your color, your hair, whatever, we won't share that. But how many of you know every gray hair, every year on the calendar is one more credential that you have more to offer this generation that's coming on the scene today? Can you say amen? And so don't think that because you're of a given age that you can't be used. You can definitely be used. Can you say amen? God's got a purpose for you. If you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. Then we talked about those who have personal failure or setbacks. And oftentimes, they're the ones, oftentimes, maybe perhaps even as much or more than those that are elderly or have other issues in their lives that are saying, you know, I've already had so much behind me, Pastor. You just don't know how far I've strayed, how far I've wandered. And the devil will tell them, you know, you just don't have what it takes to get back in the game. And you know, sometimes, if you've wasted a lot of time in life, there's a struggle. Emotionally, internally, it's not a vitality issue, it's not a physical thing, it's an emotional, spiritual thing. Can I pull myself back up by the bootstraps and get back in the game? And here's the thing, is you can have people cheer you on, you can have people encourage you, and what a valuable asset they are, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to motivate yourself. You know, the Bible talks about David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know why? Because the Bible said, because the people spake of stoning him. And there are times where there ain't nobody to encourage you but you. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you, but He's a helper. He's not a do-it-for-you-er. He's a helper. And if you move forward, He will help you. He will strengthen you. But you've got to determine to rise up and do what God's called you to do. Can you say amen? Like I said, a good friend of mine said, don't let a setback make you sit back. Have a comeback. Amen. Now, we were looking at Elijah last week, and I want to kind of finish his story up a little bit. In 1 Kings 19, this is the story of Elijah. We gave the background. I think we all know the story by now, how in 1 Kings 18, Elijah brought a whole nation back to God through that showdown on Mount Carmel. Remember that? He called fire down from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the altar. And the whole nation was restored to God. He was riding the high. In fact, so much so that even after he was done, the anointing was on him to a degree, that he outran the king's chariot. I mean, you know, just him and his two legs outran the king's Cadillac, his motorcade, amen, all the way back to the city. You talk about an anointing, but now he's spent. That anointing is lifted off of him, and he's just as human as you or I. In fact, remember Elijah's used as an example of a man who is just a human being like us, and yet he prayed, and the heaven was shut up for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the earth gave forth its rain. So he's just a guy just like you and I. I mean, he's just a human being. And then the next day, of course, Jezebel gets a hold of what he did. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, it is unreasonable, isn't it? I mean, yesterday, he took on 100 or 850 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. There's the king and all of his guard. There's the whole nation of Israel. And he's on one side of the line, and all the rest are on the other side of the line. And he takes them all on. And then he himself slaughters 850 men. And then a little lady tells him she didn't like the service he held the day before, and he's running for his life. It doesn't make any sense, does it? But that's just the nature of being human. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. And like we said, Elijah's despondency had nothing to do with God being done with him. Like we said, he had written the heights of success with God. And in a moment of vulnerability, he had a very human reaction to the threat that was on his life. Here's the thing. God knew that Elijah had the run in him and still used him to bring a nation back to God. And like we said, really it was Elijah that was disappointed with his reaction. All of a sudden he found out he's just like everybody else. And you and I are too. That's why we just need to fear. You know, I mean, fear the Lord. We hear of people that miss the mark and have a fall from grace. We just need to realize that, but for the grace of God, there go I. Because we're all just made out of the same stuff. Can you say amen? And it's the grace of God that enables us to do anything that we do for Him. But God sustained him through his lapse. And without reading the scriptures again, you remember how that he went a day's journey. He has this pity party under the broom tree, falls asleep. And then during this, he has a very unusual encounter with the angel of the Lord who fed him supernatural food. Amen. And we know it's supernatural food because he went in the strength of that food for 40 days until he came to the cave. Amen. Now here's where God speaks to him, and you could say, I guess, restores him to his purpose. Notice this, verse 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now that is a question that God has asked before. Remember about Adam? When Adam was hiding in the garden. Where are you, Adam? In as much to say, what are you doing there? Because every day you came out to meet me and we talked and fellowshipped in the cool of the day. See, God knows. How do you know this isn't God wondering where Adam was, or, you know, questioning Elijah, you know, what are you doing here? I didn't know you were going to show up today. I'd have had something ready. You know, we had had, you know, a little lunch together. That's not what God's doing. He's saying, Elijah, what's going on inside you? Why are you here? And so Elijah begins to answer. Really, he probably didn't really need a reply. Said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Now, I don't know if you're getting this, but this sounds an awful lot like an excuse. This is why I'm running, Lord. This is why I'm experiencing ministerial burnout. Because I've been faithful and I've done everything you told me to do and nobody else is. God never addresses it. God never says anything about his excuses. What does he do? He reassigns him. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, as of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. In other words, Elijah, your excuses are no good. What you need to do is stay connected to my purpose. Now, here's what's happening to Elijah, and maybe you and I can relate to this. We've all come to times in our life where the season we were in is now over. Who am I now? I mean, for the last, 30 years, I've been a mom and a housewife. Now my kids have grown up, they've left the house. Who am I now? What do I do with myself? You know, I'm used to being a mom, but now I'm a widow. My husband's gone on to glory. And, I'm older now, or it could be vice versa. I'm a widower. My wife's gone on to glory. Who am I now? What do I do with myself now? Or, like I said, using the analogy we talked about before, hey, I used to be a killer in the business world. You know, I could do those deals. I was a great salesman, whatever. Everybody knew me for my great prowess in the business world. But now I'm retired, and I'm not that guy. If I'm not him, who am I? Amen? And a lot of times people do not know who they are, nor do they have a sense of the purpose of God for their life. The good news is, if you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. It's not time to be decommissioned, it's time to be recommissioned. And interestingly, at the latter end of his life, guess what Elijah did? He invested himself into the younger generation. He created a replacement for himself. Can you say amen? So how many of you know if we got a pulse, we've got a purpose? Whether we've been AWOL or whether we're just entering a new season in our life or a little bit of both, God wants to reconnect us with His purpose for our life. Another great example of that without turning to the Scripture is John 21. You know, Peter, he denied the Lord three times. And you know the scene probably, he goes back to fishing. In fact, it's interesting when he says, I go fishing. It wasn't like, the weather's nice, I think I'll go fishing today. What he was really saying is, I'm going back to fishing. I thought I had a new direction in life and Jesus was going to come. But you know, he came and yeah, he's raised from the dead. That's glorious. But what do we do now with ourselves? So Jesus decides to fix him a little fish for breakfast and have a come to Jesus meeting for real. And he sits down and asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me more than these? And people debate, are you saying do you love me more than the disciples? Do you love me more than these fish? I don't know. But the question is, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know I do, Lord. Three times he asked him that. And you get into Greek and it's, you ask him twice, do you love me, agape? And the last time you asked, do you love me, phileo? It's a lesser love. And Peter was ashamed because he asked him three times. But I think they correspond to the three denials of Peter. He denied him thrice and Christ restored him. For each of those denials, he said, Peter, do you love me? And if so, feed my sheep. In other words, I'm going to reconnect you with my purpose. Did he mean it? In 50 days, he's preaching to the assembled crowd at Pentecost and 3,000 souls get saved. When God says, I want to reconnect you to purpose, he's not like, now we'll try it on a probationary basis. We'll see how you do. When God restores you to your purpose, he restores you to your purpose. And here's the thing. It's not like God doesn't have anything else for you to do, and so He's got like some leftover things. You know, like, well, I don't really have anything for you. Like, kind of like, when we hire people and we don't really have any work for them, but, we could use a little cleaning up around the yard. So some of us feel like that. What are we doing for the kingdom? Well, I'm just cleaning up a little bit around the yard. God didn't really have anything for me to do. After all, I'm an older person. Oh, I miss God a lot, so now He's got me cleaning up around the yard. No, if God restores you to His purpose, it's the same purpose to which He's called you from eternity past. The gift and calling of God are irrevocable. He never takes it back. The issue is, we disconnect from it sometimes. So if we'll reconnect with it, then those gifts, that grace, will still function just as they always have before. Can you say amen? You know, Peter talked big. Lord, if all these fall away and refuse to fail you, I, Lord, will stay with you, even unto death. And you know what? Here's the thing. Jesus already knew Peter was going to blow it. He said, I prayed for you, Simon. Satan's desire to sift you like wheat. And then he said this. Now, when you're converted, in other words, when you fail and get back with me, then your assignment will be to strengthen your brethren, to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep. And so Jesus reconnected Peter with his purpose. You might say, well, my exile's been a lot longer than just a few days. You know, I didn't just deny the Lord. I mean, you know, I really blew it. I was away from the Lord for years. Yeah, but you probably weren't away from the Lord like 40 years, like Moses on the backside of the desert, disconnected from the purpose of God. You know, Moses had a sense of the call of God on his life as a young man at about 40 years of age. He went out to check on the children of Israel. He'd been raised in Pharaoh's palace, but he had a connection. God was awakening a connection with his own people. And when he saw the Egyptian mistreating his own people, he slew the Egyptian, hid his body in the sand. Amen? Because he thought everybody will understand. Certainly my own people will understand that I've been called to come and be a deliverer. And they didn't. Here's the thing. Not everybody's going to see on you what you know to be in you. Here's a good word. Timing. Amen. See, God still had some character development to do in Moses. Here's the problem. A lot of times we think God can only use us in the flower of youth. You know, Moses had the education of the Egyptians. He was brought up in the household of Pharaoh. He had all the bling bling. He had all the resources. He had the education. He had the strength of his limbs. God waited till all that rotted in the wilderness for 40 years. Now he said, Moses, now I can use you. Because I've driven some of that ego and that ambition. I've burned some of that out of you. Now you'll do it my way. Instead of it being the Moses show, maybe it can be the Jesus show or the Jehovah show. And you know, when God showed up in that burning bush, Moses was doing his best to talk himself out of a call. Because you know what's interesting? Here's Moses' whole argument. I don't really have what it takes. I think you're talking there. I think somebody else was due to come by this bush today, and it just happened to be me. And you're asking me. You know, I'm a shepherd. I don't do deliverance. I tried that a long time ago. I was bad at it. But my brother now, he might be your man. In fact, I think I hear him coming now. God said, no, Moses, you the man. In fact, the Bible said Moses was the meekest man in the earth. In other words, he was not big in his own eyes. But that's when you wholly rely on God. And He gets the glory for what He does through you. Can you say amen? So God will use you. He will reconnect you to His purpose. Amen? Now I'm not saying all that time away from God, especially people who maybe backslide away from God and miss out on God's will, plan, and purpose for their life. I'm not trying to belittle the damaging effects of sin. It brings death. But what I'm saying is this. Is that failure is not terminal in the child of God unless we allow it to be. Because there's grace to get up again. There's grace to reconnect with your purpose. And if you have a pulse, you still have a purpose. I want to close with a story. And I'm not going to get to everything today, and it kind of went a little bit different direction and stayed on some points longer than I meant to. But anyway, I remember a number of years ago, I was ministering in... Actually, I wasn't the one ministering in this particular meeting. A friend of mine was. And he was ministering in this particular church. But I'm sitting there, and I, for lack of a better term, I just feel a spirit of lethargy in the church. There's just not much fire there. And I'm not talking about because they're not preaching with fire. I can just feel that their hands are hanging down a bit low. That they're just not encouraged. That they're not hearing any reveille to get up and go for God. And, you know, they're just kind of marking time. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and about the time He did, my friend who was ministering by the Spirit of God said, Randy, I believe you have something. And I said, I do. And I got up and I said, the Spirit of God told me. Sometimes it can be a tough word you have to deliver sometimes. So the Lord told me to tell you, this church has got an old man spirit. And this is what the Lord said about that. He said, an old man spirit has nothing to do with chronology, how old you are. He said, an old man spirit will have you window shopping for a rocker at 50. An old man's spirit sits back and rocks and thinks about the glory days and the things that have been. And they've got their eyes fixed in the wrong direction. And they're not taking any new mountains. You know, you think about Caleb. At 85, he's just ready to get going. He has been percolating a promise of God on the inside of his spirit for 40 years. And then finally, when they come out of the wilderness, he says, give me the mountain. I'm able to take it. At 85, he's ready to get rolling. He said, after all, my predecessor, Moses, didn't get started till he was around 80. And that old man said, I'm as strong today, get that, I'm as strong today to go in and out as I was 40 years ago. That means God picked up right where He left off. I love that thought. God will pick up with you right where you left off. He's right wherever you left Him. And that grace, that anointing, that calling, maybe it was fit for today. Maybe you're meeting your burning bush. And maybe I'm talking out of it saying, if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. It's time to reconnect with what God wants you to do. So anyway, I shared with them about this old man spirit, and the Lord began to talk to them through me about Abraham. Abraham was an old man. He couldn't produce anything after the natural, but he held on to a word from God, a promise from the Father, and God brought life back to his dead parts, and he produced again. Not only did he produce on the basis of the promise, but after Sarah died, he had more kids. Amen. If you grab hold of the promise, if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. I don't know if that's a verse, but it's close enough. God's got a purpose for you. He can give you a lot of verses about that. If you'll hold fast to the promise that God wants to restore you to purpose, if you've been disconnected, or if you've thought for whatever reason, well, I feel like I've kind of been marginalized in life, I'll go, I'll be faithful, I'll say amen, I'll cheer them on, but there's more to you than that. There's more to you than picking up stuff in the yard. Amen? God's got a grace and a call on your life. You were called to live a significant life. And if you'll hold on to the promise of God and the purpose He has for you, He'll bring a life back to your dead parts and you can produce again. And you know what? It gives God the greater glory, because everybody knows you couldn't have done it in your own strength. You couldn't have done it in your own might. It wasn't you who did it. It was God who did it through you. And He's glorified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord God. You're so faithful to us. You're so good. Father, as we come before You tonight, we ask You to bring life back to that which has been dead or dormant, whatever might have been sleeping within us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord seemed to say this to me just now as I'm praying. Thank You, Lord. Give that to me. How would it be best to say that? Sometimes when you step into a season of life, and I sense this is true for some of you, you're so used to looking a certain way, but now God's going to turn you a little bit. I'm trying to say this the best way I can. You're going to be flowing and functioning in a different capacity. There's going to be a fresh grace on your life. It's not going to be like it was in days gone by. There's going to be a fresh anointing on your life. A fresh anointing to go with a brand new day. So don't say, I'm limited to the way that God has used me in days gone by, for there's a new path for my feet to tread, and I'll walk that way with Him in faith. And He will bring me into green pastures and beside still waters, and as I serve Him, there will be peace that reigns supreme. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Yeah. Looking a little different direction. Looking a little different way. Opening our heart to a fresh, new way. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank You, Father. Yeah. Just turning your attention to Him. Being open to His voice. Not assuming or saying, this is the way the Lord uses me. He uses you as He sees fit. Comes to me right now, 1 Corinthians 12:18. He sets the members in the body, every one of them, as He pleases. And the context is function. How you function in the house is all up to Him. So don't say, well, this is how the Lord's always using me. This is what I do. No. You say, Lord, I'm in a new place. How do I function here? What's the new grace on my life for what You would have me do now? Because it may be different. For some of you, I believe it will be different. And it's going to open up a whole new opportunity for you to learn how to serve Him under a new anointing in a fresh way. It's going to bring a life. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You don't want to limit God. You don't want to assume, well, this is how God uses me. Because I have, friend, I've had God totally change how I function and flow in ministry before. And in fact, when I tried to jump back into the old thing, it was like David trying to jump back into Saul's armor, and there was just no grace in it. So don't think you can just... And here's what will happen. You try to go the same way you've always gone before, and all of a sudden now there's no life in it. There's no grace there. There's just no power. You're doing it now. You're all on your own. Because God's doing this other new thing. Amen. I don't know who that's for, but that's for somebody tonight. And maybe for everybody tonight. I don't know. But I know that with me, God's changed my direction before. I used to minister. You know, the way I minister now, I have copious notes. Usually I go over them enough. A lot of times I'll preach, like Wednesday night, for example. I had no notes. I didn't even know I was going to change the message. God changed on me 20 seconds before I preached. So I had no notes. Sometimes I use copious notes. When I went in traveling ministry, I used none. And I was used to leaning on those notes. Now, I didn't always need them, but they were there. They were my safety blanket. And God said, I want you to minister inspirationally. I want you to go out and just flow out of your spirit. I'll put the message in your heart. I preached in churches of 400 and 800 people. And worshiping God, last worship song, what are you going to preach when you get there? I don't have a clue. But here come that inspiration. Here come that thought, that scripture, that whatever. And I'd start with that. And it just ministered prophetically. As you flowed out of that, the rest would come. And I did that for many, many years. Now I went back in pastoring. And there's still an element of that in my preaching. But now I've kind of gone back to ministering the way I did before. So you flow in, you flow out. But I'm so glad that I was open to God using me differently during that season. Because it's enhanced my ministry dramatically. And now I'm not as reliant upon ministering like I used to. Now I can just kind of flow either way God wants me to go. So there's going to maybe be a whole brand new grace, a whole brand new ability, whole brand new direction you serve. So if someone comes up and says, boy, we sure could use you here. Don't be too quick to say, no, I don't do that. You heard that phrase, I don't do windows. How many of you know in the kingdom we don't tell God I don't do windows? Because God can put a grace for windows in your life. And all you want is windows. Amen. You just, whatever God wants you to do, you'll love. There's things I love to do that people, you like that. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love serving in that capacity. Then there's other things I know I'm supernaturally not graced to do. And I don't want to do it. But it's not that I'm not willing, but I just know I'm not gifted there. I'd rather defer that to somebody who is. But then all the members serving in their capacity, the job gets done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know who that's for, but it's for somebody tonight. Praise God. Amen.